Welcome again to our studies on Know Your Bible. How important it is to know each book of the Bible, because the Apostle Paul said, all Scripture is written by inspiration of God for our instruction and our perfection. And so, each book is important. Each book has a particular message, and that is true when we come to this book of Hosea. I want to pause for a moment and just say this, that the Bible is divided into certain sections. The law, which is the Pentateuch, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Then we have the historical books, the Psalms, and then we have the prophets. Well, the prophets themselves are divided basically into two sections. And they're called the major prophets, which are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, meaning their content is greater than the other 12 prophets, which are called the minor prophets. The fact that they're called the minor prophets doesn't denigrate the message that they have. And so I want to encourage you to look at every book of the Bible. Now then, we're coming, as I say, to Hosea. I want to give the background, the scenario to this book. It's a book of deep compassion, as we shall see. But it was a period when the two kingdoms of Judah and the northern tribes of Israel were in existence. And the northern tribes were indeed in deep immorality, deep paganism, and steeped in drunkenness and all kinds of sins. Now, Hosea is one that is ordained by God to indeed prophesy during the reign of Jeroboam II, king of Israel. And this is a reign that is very interesting indeed, because Israel has become much impoverished through the judgments of God, to the raising up of armies that have come against them. And now God, in his compassion, has given a respite to Judah with their king Uzziah and Jeroboam II, king of Israel. Now then, God is enlarging their borders. They're getting back some of the territory that they have lost. And also, they are prospering. They are prospering to such an extent that they're becoming very wealthy, some of them at least. And they have two houses. Some have even houses of ivory. They're so prosperous. And so they're thinking everything is all right. God is with us. And look at the prosperity we have. In the south, Uzziah, a mighty military genius. And he has recaptured territory. Jeroboam, well, there's not much good we can say of him. But he has been allowed to get back territory that previous kings had lost. And so there's, if I could say this, a false sense of security. Because the heart of the people has not changed. And therefore God raises up in the south the prophet Isaiah, who prophesies during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And to the north, there is the prophet Hosea, whom we are going to study now. And so there is a situation in the northern kingdom of a spiritual dullness. They think all things are going well. We have wealth. We've got our lands back again. Surely everything is all right. And God, through Hosea, wants to speak to the disobedient northern tribes and warn them of impending judgment because of their ways. Things are not going to last, God warns. And now we're going to see that the message is that God is going to take away those northern tribes and deport them into other countries. And they're going to be no more. But then God wants them to know that in the end days, when the Lord returns, he's going to restore Israel to their lands. Now, a prophet is not only one who prophesies, but often his very life. His very life is the message. That happened with Isaiah. You know that his wife was a prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son, and that was a type of Christ. But now, Hosea, quite different. Hosea is told to marry a woman of whoredoms, a very immoral woman, because God said the land has committed whoredoms and departed from me. Well, Hosea married a woman by the name of Gomer. She brought forth sons and daughters, and in a sense, each one had a name, and each one had a message behind that name, signifying God was going to cut off Israel, but yet, in the end, he was going to indeed restore. Well, this woman, after having these children, abandons her husband and goes after other lovers. You know, it's a terrible thing and something that pastors have to deal with, unfortunately. When one of the spouses is indeed unfaithful, goes after other women or other men, and unfortunately, you know, I've had it in so many situations. What is the message that God gives? Well, after going after all these other lovers, then God hedges her in, and she indeed, if I could say that, is reduced. Her circumstances are reduced. And in fact, she sinks so low that she becomes an owner. She becomes, owned by another man. And the price that he's asking for her is half the price of a slave. She is reduced, as it were, to nothingness. You know, we have a Bible college, and we were teaching on the book of Hosea. And then, of course, the students have to present their thesis, you know, and is it interesting that at least two of the fellows said, oh, what does she look like, you know, after God spoke to Hosea and said, go buy back your wife. You know, she must have looked like an old hag. Well, Hosea buys her back and says, now then, you are to remain faithful to me, and then I will restore you to becoming my wife. God said, look, as Hosea the prophet takes back his wife, in the end days, I will take back Israel. That's the prime message and prime theme of Hosea. As the prophet took back his wayward wife, God said, I will take back Israel. And then God adds this, that in the last days, it would happen in the last days, the days that we're entering. And he said this, then I will raise up David, and he will be again their prince. So he's speaking of the ultimate restoration of Israel at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, well, there's a millennial reign of great joy and happiness, and King David will be your ruler. Now then, after that, Hosea then starts speaking the message and warnings and pleadings to Israel. And there are certain truths that I would like to bring out. You know, first of all, we see God's compassion. He promises to restore Israel at his coming. But now, after those three chapters, first three chapters, he is now going to speak concerning the sinfulness of the children of Israel. The children of Israel. And he's going to give the reasons why one backslides. Why one backslides. And they're very important, because you see, the problem in the church is this, that people, having once known the ways of God, then turn aside. Well, what are the reasons that God gives? And in chapter 4 and verse 6, he says this, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. And he said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject you. Now, one of the important things for Christians is this, to increase in the knowledge of God. To increase in the knowledge of God. We must study God's word. God's word will renew and strengthen the inner man. In the same way that, you know, our natural body has to have food. And we have to eat that which is convenient to us. And what we eat, we become, as it were. And if we watch over our food well and eat wisely, we become strong until a ripe old age. Well, the idea in life, in the physical, is that when you're old, you're still healthy. And, of course, that means to exercise. It means to eat those things that are right, and I'm 80 and still going strong. But what we say in the natural is true in the spiritual. You know, when you're young, you're fit and healthy, you want to remain that way. Well, when you're a newborn babe in Christ, shall I say, you're full of the Lord, full of the Holy Ghost, and, you know, full of the love of God. But you've got to keep that. And you've got to continue. And you've got to mature. And the way to do it is to study God's word. But Israel rejected the word of God. They rejected the word of God. They didn't read it. They didn't listen to their priests and their preachers. They rejected the commandments of God. Oh, God said, I'll reject you. So that's one of the reasons why they backslid and why they went away from God. And then another reason was this. In that verse 11 of the same chapter, chapter 4, it says, whoredom and wine, and new wine, take away the heart. You know, one of the great messages of the Christian church is purity, holiness. And the Apostle Paul writes it in this way. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? And then he comes back that you abstain from fornication. Sexual immorality will take away the heart. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, he says this, wicked works alienate the mind. You know, if we do not live right, it changes our mind. And also the Lord Jesus Christ gave this solemn warning. He says this. He said, you know, he that committeth sin is a servant of sin. And then he went on to say, well, the servant shall not remain in the house forever. In other words, we've seen regretfully how after many warnings, people will still go into fornication or adultery. And what is the result? Well, their mind gets changed. And the result is they become almost an enemy of the gospel. But then when they try to come back to church, they cannot. They cannot. No, they cannot. Because the Lord said, if you go that way, then that's the end. I'm shutting the door. And all kinds of things happen and they don't get back to church. It's a very solemn thought. Now then, there's another problem. And that is the king. The king, Jeroboam II, was a wicked man and his wickedness trickled down to all the people in the kingdom. And essentially, it says in chapter 7 that they were all adulterers, and also that the princes or the courtiers around the king made him sick with bottles of wine, and then he became a scorner. Now I want to speak a little bit about drunkenness. Drunkenness is very, very serious indeed. King Solomon gives warning after warning about taking strong drink. You know, it so often happens, you know, social drinking, or just have a glass with the rest of them. You know, I want to tell you some very serious things concerning drunkenness. And I want to tell you and warn you concerning your children. I know of parents who, when their children arrived in their late teens, said to them, well, now you can drink, you can take a glass with mum and dad. And with the guests that we have after dinner. Well, the children have learnt to drink a glass with their parents. But they could not stop. And they went on the road to drunkenness and brought shame to their parents. It's amazing. You know, that glass of wine, King Solomon says, is a mocker. You think, oh, I can control it. I only need to take one, you know, when necessary. Is it necessary? Or, you know, one with the others. Well, that wine will become your master. And then it goes into drugs, then hallucinations. And then so often, you know, it says drunkenness would impoverish a person. And how many people we have known who have started on that road and they've lost their jobs, they've become incompetent, and they have been fired from their jobs. Well, this is what happened to the king, Jeroboam. He became a scorner, a mocker. He wouldn't listen to God's word. The result is, you know, the kingdom was overrun again and eventually it was destroyed. Now then, as I said, going back to Hosea and taking this woman of whoredom, Gomer, and she goes right down into the pit. Right down in the pit. And then he's told to bring her up, buy her back. And God says in the same way, I will buy back, as it were, Israel when I return. But in Hosea, there is also a message of restoration, of compassion. Now, in one sense, I want to warn, give a very strong warning. You cannot tempt God. You cannot say, oh, well, you know, I will test the waters of this world. And after I've enjoyed myself and sold my wild oats, then God will bring me back. Well, you can't tempt God. If you go into the world with that thought, God will say, you go. But I'm just questioning another premise. You know, you're young, you sell your wild oats. Yes. Do you know what those wild oats can produce? And I'll tell you some of the miseries that I've seen of young men, young girls. You know, they say, well, we'll have a good time, as it were. We'll leave church for a time. Or else they stay in church and then they go into the world and then they can't do that for long before they're taken out completely from church. And do you know what happens? They collect babies. They collect babies. And you know, you can't make those little arms and legs disappear. And so we have young people, you see, who have sown their wild oats, collected children. And here they are, obliged to pay alimony for another 18, 20 years. It puts a tremendous weight upon them. Rest of their life. Well, I want to now, in closing, speak of restoration, but I'm just saying that, you know, even with restoration, you still take along your wild oats. I want to come now to chapter 14. You know, where God, you know, his compassion offers the way back. And it says this, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And here is the way back. You know, return unto God. Come back quickly. Don't tarry. Don't wait until it's too late. You can't bank on a deathbed repentance. And there it says, you see, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. In other words, one of the conditions is, oh, wait, take away the wine, take away the immorality, take away all sin from my life, and then receive me graciously. And then, you know, God concludes this chapter, this book, and he says, I will heal thy backsliding. I will then love you freely, for mine anger will be turned away from you. You know, if we will come back to God, God will receive us. You know, as we come to God, God will come to us. And I appeal to you to do that now. And then I want to close this book by saying this. Who is wise and shall understand these things? Prudent, and ye shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but transgressors shall fall therein. I appeal to you, as we close now, to return unto the Lord and ask him to take away all iniquity, and then he will receive us graciously. He will love us freely. But don't tarry. Today is a day of salvation. Turn to him now. May the Lord bless you.